The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, we've been describing them as the woes in Montrose, but Minister for Media and Communications Patrick O'Donovan is seeking approval for the new broadcasting bill at Cabinet today. This would bring RTE under the control of the Controller and Auditor General. This change, of course, comes almost 3 years after it came to light that undisclosed payments were made to broadcaster Ryan Tubridy. But we have subsequently found recently that he is not the only reason that the stated salaries of the top 10 presenters were inaccurate for the past 8 years. Derek Mooney was being paid as a producer, not as a presenter, skewing that list as well. And for more on this, I'm joined now by Sean Defoe, political correspondent for News Talk. Good evening to you, Sean. Where are we at now at the moment?
Well, I'm just standing outside the Department of Media, Ciara, where we are waiting for Kevin Backhurst and Terence O'Rourke to come out of that meeting with Patrick O'Donovan. As I understand, it's just finished up in the last couple of minutes. So hopefully in the next 5 or 10 minutes, we're going to hear from the DG of RTE and just find out exactly how that went and what he has to say after meeting O'Donovan, who has obviously been quite critical. That legislation went before the Cabinet this morning. Is not something that was just worked up out of the Derek Mooney situation. Obviously, this was something that that had, in fact, due to be passed a number of months, if not up to a year ago, was brought around after the controversy over Ryan Tubridy, effectively bringing RTE's accounts under the state spending watchdog, mm-hmm. making them subject to more scrutiny, making them subject to a Commissioner-Naman review every 3 years. It's going to look at things like pay, but also delivery on the licence fee, and also includes things like the Netflix levy, this idea that there would be a charge put on streamers to fund Irish content, though that would be subject to the Minister of the Day. So, look, lots of moving parts on this, and no doubt I'd say it's been a pretty fiery meeting inside the building behind me over the last 2 hours or so.
Yeah, there does appear to be a lot of disgruntledness among the political classes about this. I think they feel that they have been in some ways misled by a lack of transparency. And of course, the minister himself, the Minister for Media, Patrick O'Donovan, was on News Talk Breakfast this morning, where he pointed out that he had been due to go on Morning Ireland, but he was dropped, or at least he's saying he was dropped at the last minute, which is interesting in and of itself. Apparently, RTE themselves are reporting that concerns have also been raised over the late Sean Rock's classification too. He, of course, presented Arena, but there's talk about his configuration as a presenter or a producer as well. So it appears that the digging has started into all sorts of members of RTE staff about their configuration and what that might mean in terms of, I suppose, that list of top paid presenters, Sean.
Yeah, and look, this was big in the Dáil. Obviously, there's a wide spectrum of opinion from those TDs who just always want to have a chance to bash RTE and are maybe unhappy with how they interview them or present their parties or political opinions. Then there's others. I mean, in the Dáil, Marilyn McDonald, a leader's questions today, talking about golden circles and it being, you know, one story for maybe the media class, if you like, and politicians compared to the rest of the country. The Taoiseach did defend RTE to a point. He said they're not taking a laissez-faire attitude, that he thinks that Kevin Backhurst has, in fairness to him, tried to bring as much into the light as possible, and a lot of the decisions may have been made by his predecessors that he's now having to clean up. But the big point that the Taoiseach raised that I think everyone is asking is this the end of it? Is there, you know, more to answer, as you say, about Sean Rock? Is there other contracts that were maybe presented in a way that made them look smaller than they actually were? And how long has that actually been going on? Subject to all of that as well, you have this other question of a potential 20 grand pay rise for Kevin Backhurst, which is currently being assessed by officials in the Department of Public Expenditure. And actually, Kevin Backhurst is just coming out of the building now, heading up to the microphones with Terence O'Rourke. So we'll hear from him, I suppose, in a bit and bring you that in our news bulletins later on.
Look, thank you very much for that, Sean. That's Sean Defoe, the political correspondent for News Talk.
Okay, let's bring in Dr. Fionnuala Doyle O'Neill, the broadcast historian at the School of History at University College Cork. Fionnuala, what do you make of this latest controversy? Is it? Do you have any sympathy for RTE on this one, or is it just dragging out ridiculously long, given it's, what, 3 years since the original Ryan Tubridy crisis arose?
Well, I suppose, you know, also the political parties, the government really are in a way also kind of culpable, because the recommendations in 2024 were to have a Controller General. So it's not as if they're sort of announcing that the nuclear bomb is going to take off today. This has been in the offing for 2.5 years. And you must remember that up to 1990, they were controlled. They were being monitored by the Controller Auditor General. So it's sort of, I suppose, in a way, they've always needed that level of monitoring, and maybe they did go a bit out of kilter. But I think the government also has to work on some of the recommendations. I was involved myself in the Media Commission, and all the recommendations that we put forward, except for one regarding the licence fee, you know, are slowly being implemented. So I think that Kevin Backhurst, you know, I think is doing a good job. He's trying to keep it, you know, frugal. I suppose it's unfortunate that every time something emerges, that they keep blaming it on the predecessor who went before, and nobody's naming any names. So it's very hard to know who is culpable and who is responsible. Now, but I suppose the idea of miscategorising and, you know, kind of giving people misnomers, particularly, I mean, to fall on your sword with Derek Mooney is a bit silly, really, because of the fact that everybody knows him as a presenter. And in fact, I monitored last week and he was on three different programmes across both television and radio. So it would appear to be a little bit disingenuous to put him under the producer.
But why do you think they did that? Because, and obviously we don't know, but the suspicion, it was it because... if it had emerged that he was on 200,000, there would have been uproar.
Well, perhaps I wouldn't like to imply or impute that there was anything kind of duplicitous going on, but
and I wasn't implying that. Yeah, but at the same time, we weren't told that he was on 200,000, and he was on 200,000.
Well, exactly. I mean, it is a little bit like smoke and mirrors, and you know that is a bit troubling, because you know have they learned anything from the fact that the report of 2024 regarding culture and governance is that, you know, transparency and accountability are very, very important. And I think, you know, if you take a look, I think it's always of absolute amazement to me that nobody reads the Broadcasting Act, because all of these are there. It's about the fact that they, you know, the authority, or the RTE, what is now known as the RTE board, you know, should like be have a more hands-on approach. They should have regular meetings regarding, in terms of fiscal output. There should also be much more involvement of, as I said, the Controller General. There's also that Section 19 that has always advocated that it be involved on a more regular basis. And RTE know that they're annually going to be called towards the Media Committee. So it's a bit, I suppose, just genuous to think that they're not going to be asked about these things.
Yeah, I suppose my question, Fiona, would be, would all those things that we're talking about, including the Controller and Auditor General, would any of them have actually spotted, though, that Derek Mooney should have been in the top 10? I mean, that was a decision made to, you know, divide up the salary to keep him out of the top 10. Like, the buck stops with whoever made that decision. I'm not sure any of those people would have spotted it, would they?
Well, I mean, I don't know. But the thing is that is the role of the... I suppose the boards, that they need to ask questions, and exactly as you say, that they might know where to look for those kind of answers or questions. But so this only came up seemingly 3 or 4 weeks ago. It was very late in the day when they actually divulged that it actually happened.
Yeah. See, I'm sorry, and I'm apologies for cutting across you again. Yeah. I'm just trying to put myself, if I was on the board and I saw the top 10 list, I would think that's the top 10 list. I don't think I'd be scrutinising further. It would never cross my mind that a broadcaster would be paid 200 grand and not be on that list.
Well, that's true, but I suppose the thing is that we don't know, because they're not naming any names as to who was responsible for this categorisation.
Yeah, it was somebody in the previous management who made that call for whatever reason. I'm assuming the reason is that 200,000... it might be a reasonable salary if you're presenting a show every day, but maybe there might have been a negative reaction to that level of money being paid to someone who wasn't presenting a show every day.
Well, I suppose, you know, my empathy and sympathies go with the ordinary people of RTÉ who are working really, really hard and, you know, hugely sort of reliable journalists and presenters and everything. And I suppose the fact that they were miscategorised as well, and some people ended up on the top 10 list that didn't want to be there or that shouldn't have been there.
It's hard to have too much sympathy for anyone who's on 200 grand that they're on a list, though, really, isn't it? I mean,
well, that is true. But I suppose the other side of it is that, I mean, I'm no apologist for RT, but I do.
No, sorry, I know you're not. I wasn't suggesting you. Yeah,
no, but I do believe in public service broadcasting, and I do believe that you know, I've heard people all day long talking about the taxpayers' money, and you know, I'm always looking at the fact that it's €160 for a television license, which I don't think is extreme, and people are paying $16.99 a month for Netflix, and there's no issues over that, you know. And I just think that it's important to note that we need to support public service broadcasting, and this is very unfortunate in the sense that
this damages confidence, though. I agree with you. I think there's, you know, I think the license fee is something that people should pay, but it's harder to make that argument when we're 3 years into this and we're still not getting the full picture.
But I do agree from that point of view. But as I said at the outset of this conversation, that the government as well have been dragging their feet, that why has it taken 2.5 years to even consider the Controller General issue? And there's a lot of areas around governance that they still haven't implemented. And as I said, all of that legislation is there in the Broadcasting Act of 2009, but nobody has really bothered to look at it in kind of detail, because all that legislation is there and ready to go for the last, I don't know how many years.
I take the point you're making about there's loads of brilliant people in RT. I've lots of good friends and former colleagues who work there who are really good journalists, really impressive journalists. But does the station have a culture problem?
Well, you see, I don't know. Let me just tell you a quick little anecdote. I organised 100 years of radio down in Cork, and I was really impressed with the frugality. Few people came from RT, and those that did hiked themselves over from the bus or the train station, never stayed overnight, and there was a kind of a general sense that they were being very, very careful and being very, very frugal. I think hitherto that would not have been the case. There would have been a sense of sort of flamboyancy. So I think Kevin Backhurst is trying to keep a lid on spending. He's probably inherited
not when I came to the World Cup qualifier in Prague. I can't remember the exact number of people who went there, but 41. I think.
41, yeah. Well, that's the other side of it. But I suppose the thing is that, you know, I think the people on the ground who are doing kind of a lot of the hard work, it is probably difficult for them to hear. It's like Groundhog Day. Have they learned anything? How much more is going to come out of the closet, so to speak? And I think, you know, the answer will be that they will be constantly under accountability. And, you know, the idea that, you know, it's also bad timing as well that Kevin Backhurst has been sanctioned for the 20,000 increase, and whether that will go ahead now is sort of another issue. And I suppose the thing is that when you look at CEOs around the country, you know, people are, the salaries are increasing. It's a lot of work, and we do want to keep good people as well. You know, the BBC. Okay. I know, and just one other thing, just about, you know, broadcasting. I thought it was really interesting. We tend to be kind of negative about public service broadcasting. I thought it was interesting the referendum in Switzerland last week that voted to continue to pay 345 francs a year for their independent Swiss broadcasting service, because they felt if they didn't have it, that they would be getting a whole lot of commercial interests involved. So we have to be very careful what we wish for. I think it's really, really important to kind of maintain, as you say, confidence, but accountability and transparency are very, very important as well.
Okay, listen, good to talk to you. Thank you for taking our call, Dr. Fionnuala Doyle O'Neill, their broadcast historian at the School of History in University College Cork.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.